James concludes chapter 4 of his epistle with these words from verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For what is your life? Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Our God is a God of grace. A God of grace, a God that delights in showing mercy. He is a God of grace, abundant, abounding grace. No matter how far his children fall, no matter how much they might sin, no matter how cold their hearts may grow, or how far off they may wander, he giveth more grace. His grace is overflowing, never ending, always forgiving, always long suffering. He giveth more grace. He abounds with grace to his children. We know this every day, how forgiving he is to our transgressions, how forgiving he is to our coldness of heart, how forgiving he is to our grumbles and our complaints and our murmurings, like the children of Israel as they journeyed through the desert and moaned at Moses and moaned at their God. How forgiving he is, how gracious he is. He's abounding in grace. His grace overflows. And yet, what are we? What are we even as believers like? What are our lives like? What are our lives? We're forever justifying ourselves, and we're forever condemning one another, forever judging one another, whilst doing worse ourselves. What hypocrites we are. What fools. What hypocrites we are that judge others. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? How easily we put ourselves in the place of God. How we like to set ourselves up over our brethren and wag the finger and condemn whilst justifying ourselves, whilst turning a blind eye on all that we do. And yet, despite what we are, and despite how we fall, and despite how judgmental we can be, yet the Lord still gives more grace to his children. He overcomes them and he overwhelms them with his grace. He leads them through his gospel to look again by faith to his Son and to see their sins washed away in his blood, and to see their brethren's sins washed away in his blood, to see the righteousness of God manifested for them, to see in Christ alone their perfection, their righteousness, to see the forgiveness of sins through his blood. The Lord constantly, graciously, mercifully leads his children back to his Son, in whom they are one. Our brethren are perfect, righteous as we are in God's sight, because they too are washed in Christ's blood. Forgive others as ye yourselves have been forgiven. What are we by nature? Nothing but a wretched sinner. Nothing but wretched sinners. What is your brother or your sister in Christ? Nothing but a wretched sinner. And yet, together, one in Christ, washed in his blood, recipients of God's mercy, recipients of his free, loving, sovereign grace, perfect, spotless in God's sight. So why do we judge? We read earlier from Romans 8, where Paul opens with the words, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So why do we look one upon another and judge? Paul goes on later in that chapter. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who is he that condemneth? Oh, praise God, that despite ourselves, in spite of our flesh and all the fruit of the flesh, in spite of our bickerings and our complainings and our arguing and our strife and all the judging one of another and all the justifying each other, justifying ourselves, all the self-righteousness, all the pride we exhibit, in spite of all that we are, God gives more grace. God gives more grace. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Every day Christ intercedes for his people. Every day he intercedes to the Father and says, I've washed them, I've cleansed them, I've justified them, they're mine. Oh Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. For what are our lives? Ever tainted by sin, and yet washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If we're his. What are our lives? What is your life? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Like grass that grows up one day and is cut down the next, as the scriptures say elsewhere. We're here for a moment and gone the next. Yes, what is your life? What is your life? What is it? It's a vapor. A little moment. You arrive into this world on an appointed day, and you depart from it on an appointed day. You no more control the day you arrive from the day you go. You don't cause your heart to beat. You don't put the air in the atmosphere to breathe. You don't bring forth the food that you need to live from the ground. You don't create the water upon which you're so dependent. What is your life but a vapor? We are in God's hands. What is your life? Did you choose the day that you were born and the place in which you would be born and the parents that would bring you forth? Did you choose it? Did you choose how you would appear? The colour of your skin, your height, your stature? Male or female, black or white? Did you choose your nationality, your kindred? Did you choose your family? Can you add years to your life? Can you choose to live to 150? Can you add a foot to your stature? Can you choose to be tall or choose to be short? What is your life but that which is given unto you for a moment and then taken away? Do you choose and control the events that come upon you? The circumstances, the pathway that you go on? Oh, you make your choices in life. You head off this way and that way. You befriend people. You seek a career. You head in a certain direction, but you're not in control of what comes your way upon that path. You do not know what a day may bring. You cannot control it. You can't control the weather. You can't control the natural disasters, as it were. You can't control whether disease may come to your door. You may amass great wealth and then have it taken away when the stock markets crash. You're not in control. What is your life? What do you do with your life? In this passage, what James essentially contrasts here is our will and the will of God concerning us. By nature, in the flesh, we go our own way. We make our own decisions. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. James would have us see that our will is one thing, and God's will is what comes about. And even as believers, so readily do we turn to the flesh and the wisdom of the flesh, the decisions of the flesh, what we think we shall do, where we think we shall go, our ideas of what shall be. We purpose to do this and we purpose to do that. And so often, the Lord would have us go another way. How slow we are to come down before him and say, not my will, Lord, but thine. Lead me, Lord. Show me where I should go. Give me the words to say. Watch over me. O Lord, give me thy grace. Give me thy mercy. Lord, I know nothing. I don't have the answers. I cannot see right. Lord, open the door and close other doors. Lead me on the right path. Show me where I should go, where I should be, what I should do. Lord, show me thy will. Now, so often we say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. Yes, we are forever planning, forever seeking, forever going our own way and seeking our own things, our own glory, our own riches, our own honour, our own will, our own way. We are forever setting our will against God's. Indeed, even as believers, behind our prayers and behind our decisions, so often what we want is for God to agree to our will. So often our prayers, as it were, our Lord, I would like for this to happen. May it be so. Rather than taking everything and laying it upon the altar and saying, Lord, take all of this away if thou wilt. Just lead me in the right way. Yes, we're forever setting our will against God, seeking our own glory, our own riches and honour, and not the things that honour God. We are so earthly minded in our flesh, so carnal, so fleshly. Oh, how we need God to come in his gospel every day and stand before us as we, as it were, go on our road to Damascus with our mind set to do this and that. How we need him to come before us daily and stand in the way and call our name and show us who he is. And what he has done for us. How we need him to remind us that it was his will to send his son to die for sinners like us. To die for us, that we should be dead to this world and live unto God. How we need him to come before us and show us his son. How we need his grace, his mercy. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. As believers, we've heard the gospel. We know there's nothing in man. We know there's nothing in self. We know there's nothing in this world. And yet how often we need God to come in Christ and show us that again. Ye are dead. Dead to the world. Dead to self, dead. Just as Paul showed us in Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We suffer with him. We're joint heirs with Christ. Why? Because in Christ, with Christ, we died. Our flesh was crucified. We were delivered from this present evil age. And in him we rose again from the grave to live and to reign with him forever. What an inheritance he's brought in. What a salvation. Oh, what he did for us. Oh, what God did for us. For his own, for his people, by giving his Son for them, that they should live in him forever. In spite of all that we are, in spite of all that we do, in spite of all our unbelief, all our carnality in the flesh, in spite of all the coldness and the blindness and the foolishness, in spite of all that we are, all we do, all we will, God gave his Son for his own. Christ gave himself for the church. He loved us and gave himself for us. He gave everything to deliver us from this world, from sin, from death, from the flesh, from ourselves. He gave himself. He gave himself freely, in love, in mercy, by grace. He gave himself by grace that we should be delivered from all our enemies, that we should be delivered from ourselves. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Yes, God gave his Son for sinners like us. For sinners like you. He died that sinners should live. Oh, what is your life? It is but a vapor. It's there for a moment and then it's gone the next. It vanisheth away. What is your life? It's nothing. But if Christ gave himself for you, then that life that vanisheth away will be replaced with a life which is eternal, without beginning, without end. Eternal, everlasting life, righteousness. If you're his, then when you die, you won't die. You will live. You will go to be with him in glory forever. Oh, what a salvation. What an inheritance. What a hope. What glory. Oh, that his will might swallow up our will. Because left to ourselves, we can hear this message. We can hear the gospel 1,000 times, 10,000 times. We can be told, we can be asked, what is our life? We may know it's nothing. We may know it's fleeting. We may know that death lies ahead of us. We may know that we have no hope beyond the grave, and yet we do nothing. We can do nothing. We incessantly seek our own will, our own way, our own glory. We go off in our unbelief. We go off in our depravity, seeking that which we can get, striving for that which passes through our fingers, grasping at that which we cannot maintain. Oh, the fools we are by nature. Blind, deaf, dead in our sins. What is your life? And yet if he came for us, if we're his, then that life, which seems so great to men, our life, was slain on the cross with Jesus Christ. Yes, we died in him, with him. We were buried with him. And we rose with him. We are risen in Christ. We have a new life, everlasting life. Have you? Have you? Has the Lord shown you the nothingness of your natural life in the flesh? Has he shown you that you are nothing? Has he shown you that this world is nothing? Has he shown you that you have nothing? Has he shown you your need of Christ? Has he shown you what your life is? Has he led you by grace, by abounding, abundant grace, love and mercy? Has he led you to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? For if he has, then you will know that you are crucified with him. You will know that the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. You will know that your old man was laid in the grave and buried, and that you have risen with Christ your Saviour. And as Paul writes in Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. For what, brethren, is your life? What is your life? Amen.